Head on over to jointhenerdclan.com to become part of our official Nerd Clan community. You get access to premium podcasts, including the Crown Podcast, free swag, bonus Q&As, bonus After Doc podcast episodes, and much more. You can check all of this out by going to jointhenerdclan.com. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Welcome back. My name is Mary Larson, and I'm a Gryffindor.
My name is Blake. I am a proud Slytherin, and I'm going to call out all the Hufflepuffs tonight for something that happens in this chapter. All of you. All of you. That's it. I'm done. I'm down. I'm out on Hufflepuff.
You have been out, Blake, and we all know why.
I'm super out on Hufflepuff now.
He was probably dumped by a puff. Let's be real. With that attitude, what puff would date him?
I am not going to say no. But I'm also not going to say yes.
All right. So, of course, today we are talking about the Dueling Club. This is Chapter 11 inside Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. And tonight's quote is, "Now, Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club to train you all in case you ever need to defend yourselves, as I myself have done on countless occasions. For full details, see my published works." And I just need to get one more thing in here because it's another one of my favorite quotes.
Please do so.
"Goyle's potion exploded, showering the whole class. People shrieked as splashes of the swelling solution hit them. Malfoy got a face full and his nose began to swell like a balloon." Just picture that for a moment. "Goyle blundered around, his hands over his eyes, which had expanded to the size of dinner plate. Snape was trying to restore calm and find out what happened." Isn't that crazy? Like, here's another. "Malfoy hurried forward, his head drooping with the weight of a nose like a small melon." So I just wanted to, like, to imagine that. Malfoy's nose is the size of a melon,
and
Goyle's eyes are as big as dish plates.
And Malfoy's head just droops like a baby's, like a...
It's like when you see a baby and you're like, "Oh, look at that neck strength." Oh, never mind.
Never mind.
Still working on it. Tummy time.
I got to tell you, the author's writing in this chapter is phenomenal.
Agreed.
Truly phenomenal. In fact, this is one of my favorite chapters we've read so far. I love everything about this chapter.
Agreed.
On so many different levels for so many different reasons.
You know what's so fun about this is we have now said this twice about this book.
That's true.
And this is one of the movies that you don't really love as much.
That's
and
correct.
This is your first time reading this book.
Yes. I think that's more of an affectation of the author becoming more adept at writing her story, more confident in writing her story.
Yeah.
The movie, however, is an entirely different story.
Which we will get into after we've read this book. All right, so we just want to remind you, of course, to hit that subscribe button for this podcast. You can find us on social media by searching for Mary and Blake. You can also head on over to maryandblake.com. There we have a slew of podcasts, and we love to remind you that our This Is Us podcast, titled This Is Us 2, it starts back up October 28th. If you're a fan of This Is Us on NBC, you can actually listen to all of our previous episodes to refresh yourself on all the plots that have gone on through that amazing series. Just check us out. This Is Us 2. You can check us out on all podcast apps or maryandblake.com. And we want to thank all of you who have taken the time to donate at jointhenerdclan.com. We have a slew of patrons there who are making all of this possible. We say it every single podcast. This would not be happening without you. Our podcast is listener supported. So if this brings you Lumos in the time of Nox, please feel free to head on over to jointhenerdclan.com where for as little as $2 a month, you are able to contribute to making this possible. For now, let's get into the show.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
All right, let's do the recap, Marvin.
Oh my goodness gracious. What an amazing and fun chapter we have going on here. So, let's be real. I mean, there's a lot that goes on. Harry gets better, and then they still want to figure out what's going on with the polyjuice potion. They end up having a dueling club that takes place between Snape and Lockhart. In the process, a snake comes out. Harry finds out he's a Parseltongue and learns that's not the best thing. And Justin and Nearly Headless Nick get petrified. And Harry's at the scene of the crime. Again.
That
you know what
kid.
This is?
What's that?
You remember that book, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day?
Yes.
This is Harry's version of that. He just wants to go into his four-poster bed, close the curtains, and wake up tomorrow.
You know what else it's not?
What?
Not great, Bob.
No. Nope.
Not great.
No. Nope.
Not great for Harry.
I mean, he wakes up, the bones are back, albeit a little stiff. Mm-hmm. Can't see Colin Creevy, but he knows that's going on next to him.
I love how this chapter opens up, you know, Harry waking up and understanding where he is, and his arm is kind of back to normal essentially, and he gets up and he's kind of upset. Mm-hmm. He's kind of upset and alone, and he's kind of upset and alone because Ron and Hermione are not there. And it just again goes to show you that our main character, you know, the namesake of this book, is still a kid, number one.
Yes.
And number two is very still, regardless of whatever he's done in his life, is still very insecure.
Yeah. And let's be real. He just lost all the bones in his body. It was a very uncomfortable night. It's not like his mom's there to comfort him. Mm-hmm. You would want somebody there. When you're not feeling well, you're like, Mary, can you just sit with me?
That's true.
You would be feeling the same exact things if this were happening.
I'm not going to lie. That would be totally true.
I love how he had to clumsily feed himself porridge left-handed. Poor little thing.
Oh,
because he's right-handed.
Percy Weasley. Oh, yeah. He is right-handed.
We learned that when he's at Ollivander's.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Percy Weasley going by, just, you know, on cloud nine, if you will. Talking things, happy about life, having fun. You know, oh, you did really well. Excellent flying yesterday. Really excellent. Oh, wow. Maybe.
I hope Ron's not in the girls' bathroom again. And where is Ron? In the girls' bathroom.
Oh,
he's with Hermione, and they are mixing some things up for this polyjuice potion. But alas, there's a couple of things that are missing.
Yes.
And these things are only things they can locate in Snape's cupboard. So Hermione, of all people, comes up with this delicious plan to distract Professor Snape to get into his cupboard. And she says that because she has a clean record, she's going to be the one that breaks in, and the boys are going to have to be the ones that do the distraction. What do you think about this?
I think the logic is pretty faulty,
to
be
honest. What do
you mean? Because yes, she'll do the stealing, but the boys still have to make the distraction. The boys still have to go and do that. So if they get caught putting fireworks in wherever they put it in, I forget what they put it in one of the cauldrons, I think. If they get caught doing that, guess what? They're still in trouble. Like, they're still going to get expelled. Like, again, the logic is pretty faulty. Though, though, I will say this. I really, really like the idea that Hermione is the one coming up with this plan. And Hermione is the one that's saying, okay, I'm going to do this and you're going to do that. Because it shows a great growth in that character. Though, Hillary here asks, why don't they just use the invisibility cloak?
Because they want to talk with Malfoy rather than just listen and sneak. And I think,
for the distraction.
Oh, that's a really good question.
Yeah, we call that narrativium.
I think that Hermione and Harry are a little shook up after the invisibility cloak. Like, we don't really use that much right now. I think that, like, it kind of scared them a little bit. Can we just backtrack for a second?
Absolutely.
Harry's arm lost all of its bones. Do you think an incident report went home to the Dursleys? You know how, like, when your kid gets bit in preschool or something bad happens, like, the nurse has to send a note home?
This is the 90s. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Put some Windex on it and it's fine. But you don't think the Dursleys are ever let known when Harry, like, Harry was in the hospital for a week last year? Do you think they were given a little notice? Because they never bring it up with him. They're never like, by the way, we heard that you were, like, unconscious for a week last year. What the heck happened to you?
No, I don't think that they get the notice. I feel like they rub some Tussin on it, and then that's it.
I would be so mad as a parent. Molly Weasley, Like,
oh, Molly would be all over.
She would want to know. She would want to know. I just had to get it off my chest. As a parent, I would want to know. But then again, the Dursleys probably shoo the owls away and say, scat.
So do you see, do you understand, I guess, the reasoning for Harry, why he's upset that Ron and Hermione are not there? But on the other hand, too, Mary, the question I have to ask you is, do you understand the reasoning for Ron and Hermione doing what they're doing?
Yes. Which yes is, to all.
Which is starting to get this thing ready to go.
Let's because get it started.
We gotta, let's get it started in here. Let's yes. get it started.
No, I mean, they make perfect sense to him. You know, he finds them in the bathroom and they're like, listen, we know that Colin got petrified. That's why we're in here. We know that we need to find this solution and figure out who is opening the Chamber of Secrets as quickly as possible. So, you know, they go in and they, oh, poor Ginny Weasley, by the way, so distraught.
Poor oh, I know. Thing. I know.
He tells them, of course, you know, that Dobby came in and he confirmed that this has happened before. So they are even more sure that that it's going to be Malfoy. Mm-hmm. And they set things up to have quite a scene go on in Snape's classroom. And what I found to be so interesting is he feels like Snape knows that it's him. And I love this because we really think, you know, we know that Snape knows how to do occlumency. So like here, for example, he's yelling, Snape is yelling, silence, silence. Anyone who has been splashed, come here for the deflating draft. When I find out who did this, and then later on he says, if I ever find out who threw this, because he finds the firecracker mm-hmm. inside the potion. So he finds out that it was in fact like, a student that did this, I shall make sure that person is expelled. And Harry arranges his face into what he hoped was a puzzled expression. Snape was looking right at him.
Because he knew. Because
he knows.
He definitely knows.
Well, and it's just so interesting. So I love reading these books, knowing that Snape can do occlumency,
yep.
knowing that Snape can read minds. And for those of you who haven't read the series before, that's what it means. And it's not necessarily spoiling anything. But then later on in the book, Snape tells Malfoy what spell to use. Snape whispers into Malfoy's ear. So either Malfoy
with the snake,
or
with the snake, right?
Yeah.
But no, does he whisper into his ear?
Snape moved closer to Malfoy, bent down, and whispered something into his ear. Malfoy okay. smirked, too.
Oh, understood. Okay, yep.
Yeah. And then they begin. So either Malfoy already knew this Serpent Sorcia, or...
Yeah, so the way that I took it, it was... I didn't take it as though he was telling him what to do. I don't know. I just... Because that's pretty sinister if that's the case. Though, here's a great question. Here's a great question.
Yes.
Did Snape tell him to do that spell mm-hmm. or the charm, whatever it is, wondering
mm-hmm.
and knowing
mm-hmm.
that Harry could speak Parseltongue? Or is it to see if he could?
I think it's to see if he can. I didn't pick up on this before until I read this chapter this time. As yep. I said, I'm really looking through things. I'm combing through things a lot with the knowledge that Snape can do occlumency, but also through the eyes that Snape is trying to still protect Harry. Yes, he's trying to get Harry in trouble. Like, he doesn't love Harry being a student at school. He really kind of loathes the kid, but he is trying to protect him. And now we know that a student and Mrs. Norris have been hurt, and there's all this blood on the wall saying the Chamber of Secrets is open. So I find it very interesting that a second-year student, students who don't even know Expelliarmus yet,
yep.
can do Serpent Sorcia. Now, mind you, this is Malfoy. So Malfoy may have known this spell. He may have heard his dad do it.
Sure.
They may have, like, you know how you've got, they don't have them anymore because this is, you know, 2020. But you know how, like, in the 90s you had books next to the toilet and it would be like funniest jokes.
Yes.
Or like cartoons. Like, it was just your bathroom book that you were kind of grossed out about, but you were like, I'm going to be here for a little bit. Like, what if there were like best spells to do during a duel?
Yeah.
And it was like, this one's the top one for Slytherins because it has a snake. Like, maybe Malfoy knew. But as I read this, I was like, why is Snape whispering in his ear and they're smiling? Is he telling him to do this spell? And then B, if so, why this spell?
Yeah. You got to do some logic jumps, and you got to squint really hard to get there.
Well, I've been squinting, honey. That's what I'm saying.
You got to squint really hard to make that jump, but I think that you can do it. Yep. I think that you can say Snape knew it was Harry in the potions class.
Yes.
Snape has an idea that it could be Harry because of all the mysterious things that happen around him and continue to happen around him, especially knowing his involvement with the Dark Lord. It's worth seeing. And if he has read his mind and he has read his emotions the way that we are hypothesizing that he has, I think it's safe to assume that Snape has an inkling of an idea that Harry can, in fact, talk to snakes. Now, if Snape is doing that, what is the reason then? What's the point?
But on the flip side, the boys on their own know Rictum Sempra, Tarantelgra. They already know a few. Mm-hmm. So the jury can be out.
But whatever. Let's just say for the sake of argument, I'm not going to hit that quite yet because it's not. I'm not going to hit the hosts aren't listening button because you didn't answer my question.
Okay. What is your question? Because here after the snake comes out.
Let's just say for the sake of argument, okay, that Snape does tell Malfoy to use this spell.
Yes.
And Snape does it for a nefarious reason or a curious reason.
A parcel mouth reason.
What's the point? Is it to frame Harry? Is it what? Because we have always maintained that Snape's job is to protect Harry.
Yes.
So if Snape is knowingly doing this,
yeah,
how is this protecting Harry?
I think it's like just a scientific process of elimination. Like, okay, well, you know, he did get into a little bit of a skirmish with Voldemort. Let's see if he can talk to snakes.
Sure.
But, you know, after the snake incident and Harry talks in parcel mouth and it looks like he's you know, egging it on with Justin, it says Snape stepped forward, waved his wand, and the snake vanished in a small puff of black smoke. Snape, too, was looking at Harry in an unexpected way. Mm. It was a shrewd and calculating look, and Harry didn't like it.
Yeah. There's more going on here than meets the eye as I wear my Transformers t-shirt.
Like, Snape, I feel like at this point, knows more than Dumbledore.
Oh, I'm not going to go that far. I can't make that jump.
The problem with this whole, I'm telling you, okay? People need to communicate better in this universe.
Yes, they do. Okay? Absolutely.
It's too many dudes in a castle. If this was...
Dudes in a castle.
Yes. That,
the new t-shirt, dudes in a castle.
Mm. I'm telling you, if this place was run by McGonagall and Sprout, there'd be teacher room, okay? They'd be having like weekly happy hour where they'd be getting together with Madame Hooch. She'd bring the booze and they'd all hang out and they'd say, look, all right, you know, let's talk snakes. Like, you guys got anything?
Let's talk snakes.
Anybody see kids doing some weird stuff with snakes recently? Like, yeah, okay, let's lay this all out.
And as much as I totally agree with you, I really love the pairing of Snape and Lockhart.
Ooh,
the pairing is awesome. I think I'd better teach you how to block unfriendly spells, says Lockhart. Standing flustered in the midst of the hall, he glanced at Snape, whose black eyes glinted, and looked quickly away. Let's have a volunteer pair, Longbottom and Finch Fletchley. How about you?
Can you imagine them? Oh, sweeties.
And then Snape's retort. A bad idea, Professor Lockhart, said Snape, gliding over with like a large and malevolent bat. Longbottom causes devastation with the simplest spells. We'll be sending what's left of Finch Fletchley up to the hospital wing in a matchbox.
Yes.
Neville's round pink face went pinker. How about Malfoy and Potter? Said Snape with a twisted smile. Yes, the pairing is great. And as much as I love the idea of a dueling club, like... Dueling, okay, we have to make the obvious comparison here and the obvious reference to Hamilton. It is such a muggle thing.
Yes.
And it is like dueling, but with students, teaching them dueling is not as terrible, obviously, or ugly as what Hamilton does with Aaron Burr. But it is something like a sport. It's something that is so muggle, but it is so distinctly wizard. In the environment, this is one of the most effective chapters that I think the author has written, specifically because she writes the dueling and everything around it, mm-hmm. and how it comes together, how these people interact, the idea of them holding their wands up at each other with their hands up.
Yes. And
the whole feeling of it just feels so unique. It feels so Harry Potter.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and it's also this organized chaos, you know, like it's supposed to be this grand thing, the dueling club, and they've got all these students there, and it's Lockhart who consistently puts down Snape.
Yes.
Like, out of control.
And Snape gives them the business.
Right? Right in front of the kids. And then they pair up the kids, and things get crazy. I mean, for example, so everyone's like doing things all over the place. Malfoy and Harry are doing all these crazy things to each other. Both Neville and Justin, for example, were lying on the floor panting. Ron was holding up an ashen-faced Seamus, apologizing for whatever his broken wand had done. But Hermione and Millicent Bulstrode were still moving. You see, Millicent had Hermione in a headlock, and Hermione was whimpering in pain. Both of their wands just lay forgotten on the floor. They weren't even dueling with wands anymore. They just like
they're
got
just,
into.
They're just getting in. This is.
Yeah.
What was it? What were those? Girls Gone Wild. That's what that reminds me.
Yeah. Just Hogwarts edition.
Hogwarts Gone Wild. Just girls pulling each other's hair and getting
in
fights.
Dear. Up you go, Macmillan. Care for them, Miss Fawcett. Pinch it hard. It'll stop bleeding in seconds. So absolute chaos.
Can I ask you why in God's name is Lockhart even. Like teaching this? Why is he even there? How did he get this job?
Didn't he ask Dumbledore if he could?
Yeah, but is Dumbledore purposely putting him in charge? Like,
listen, when you are a headmaster,
the logic here is you know what? In the spirit of the debate tonight, this reminds me. This is a little fuzzy math. Okay,
I think of it as Dumbledore has a lot of fish to fry. Okay, he's dealing with the big issues right now, and in comes Lockhart saying, "Can I start a dueling club?" When you are a principal or a headmaster, and you have a teacher who says, "I would like to for free put on an after school activity for the kids," and you're at a boarding school where if the kids aren't doing something supervised, you know they're up to mischief. Jeff,
yeah.
You say sure. Sure. Why not? Oh, I'm going to need an assistant. Why don't you take Snape? Maybe Dumbledore is the one that suggested Snape, because let's be real, Snape is amazing.
Yes.
In this chapter. Snape is brilliant in this chapter. I mean, I'm reading through like a different lens of Snape right now. But, you know, he goes through potions, teaching kids how to do these potions, healing all of them. Mm-hmm. We don't need Madame Pomfrey. Lord knows how Gilderoy Lockhart would have handled the melon fur nose that Malfoy had. And then he comes in and he does this dueling. And what I love about Snape is he is the one that teaches Harry Expelliarmus.
Right.
Which ends up being Harry's signature spell.
That's like 99% of his spells.
And it's one of the first spells, if not the first spell, that he teaches Dumbledore's army.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean,
He teaches him the spell that protects him, that he even uses, I'm pretty sure, against the Dark Lord himself.
He does.
Yes.
Absolutely does. Yeah. Oh, man. Just think about that.
Yep. Yeah. Just let that marinate, and he doesn't even know.
Oh, soak that in.
Let the little tear go down your face.
Oh, man.
So all of this happens, and Harry has the talk with Ron and Hermione. Ron actually pushes him down in a chair. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you tell us you're a parcel mouth?
Right.
And Harry's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Can't you guys all talk to snakes? Like, it kind of blows my mind that this never came up in conversation, but because it only happened once and he had so many different experiences throughout his life living with the Dursleys, I can see how he kind of let it slip.
Yeah.
But they freak out and they tell him this isn't good and that this is actually like a key trait of Slytherin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like Salazar Slytherin.
And what I think I love is that Harry... Does Harry know that he can speak parcel tongue? Like, that's the question.
I don't understand what you mean.
Does Harry know? Like, he...
Like when he said it to the snake, when he was like, snake, please back up, he didn't hear,
yeah.
He heard in his head, please back up, Snape. So that snake, that's why he's saying, like, didn't you guys hear me?
I hear you.
So, okay, and that's why when he's trying to speak partial tongue later on in the chapter,
yes,
he can't. He's realizing he needs to be doing it like while he's talking to a snake.
So I guess,
he fixes that in later books.
I'm a what? Said Harry, a parcel mouth. You can talk to snakes. I know, said Harry. I mean, that's only the second time I've ever done it. I accidentally set a boa constrictor on my cousin Dudley at the zoo once. Long story. But it was telling me that it had never seen Brazil, and I sort of set it free without meaning to. That was before I knew I was a wizard. A boa constrictor told you it had never seen Brazil? Ron repeated faintly. So? I bet loads of people here can do it. Oh, no, they can't, said Ron. It's not a very common gift. Harry, this is bad. What I like about this is it's never said to us implicitly that Harry can speak to snakes in the first book. It's never implicitly said he is a parcel tongue. We take it as though Harry's just talking to a snake.
Yeah.
But we don't,
we don't know it's a different language.
Yeah,
okay.
As readers, we think the snake is speaking English.
Correct.
So I think that's what I'm getting at here. Harry doesn't realize that he is speaking an entirely different language.
Agreed.
And he finds out that not only is he speaking a language, but it also has a name that it's rare, and it's that something Salazar Slytherin could do. And he's finding that out at the same time as we readers are finding that out. And I find that great because it... That makes Harry question himself. It makes the kids question him. It makes his friends question him. All these things are happening all at once. And the best part about it all is that it makes Harry scared. And it makes Harry feel alone. Mm-hmm. Alone. And so alone, it says, Harry lay awake for hours that night. Through a gap in the hangings around his four-poster, he watched snow starting to drift past the tower window and wondered, could he be a descendant of Salazar Slytherin? He didn't know anything about his father's family, after all. The Dursleys had always forbidden questions about his wizarding relatives. Quietly, Harry tried to say something in Parseltongue. The words wouldn't come. It seemed he had to be face-to-face with a snake to do it. And I love it. But I'm a Gryffindor, Harry thought. The sorting hat would not have put me to here if I had a Slytherin blood.
If only Harry had a diary to be putting down all these thoughts and help sort them out.
Oh, it's even better. ah, said a nasty little voice in his brain. But the sorting hat wanted to put you in Slytherin. Don't you remember?
Is that Voldemort in his head?
Harry turned over. He'd see Justin next day in Herbology and explained that he'd been calling the snake off, not egging it on.
Unless
I love. In fact, I'm going to do this.
Makes me wanna shout.
Oh my goodness. I love that.
So he doesn't get to see Justin Flitch-Fletchley at Herbology because Herbology gets canceled due to the snow. And Professor Sprout is actually going around and putting wee little scarves on all the mandrakes to make sure that they're okay. And I love this about Professor Sprout. She takes her job so seriously now that there are people and pets petrified that she is like, kids, you just go do you. You go play some wizard's chess because I need to make sure these mandrakes are taken care of correctly. We can't have Ron with his broken wand and Neville, who's just, you know, being Neville, coming and trying to help me out with these scarves. I have to do this. So she cancels it. And Harry goes off looking for Justin to go and just clear things up. And he goes to the library where he finds a bunch of the Hufflepuffs, not Justin, sadly. And they're all talking smack about him.
And this...
Shame.
This is why I'm canceling Hufflepuff.
You know, I'm not going to lie, Blake, as I reread this and I remember how I felt when all the Hufflepuffs were taunting Harry yet again in Goblet of Fire, it's just tough. And I feel like the Puffs, you know, the Puffs don't hate easily, but if you mess with a Puff, they're like a beehive. They're like a wasp hive, okay? They're just minding their own business, okay? They're out amongst the flowers, doing their thing, hanging down in the kitchen. But if you mess with one of them, watch your back. Honey badger.
Honey Badger don't care.
Don't care.
Honey Badger don't care.
And what stinks is that everything is against Harry's side. They bring it up. Ernie brings it up. He was having an altercation with Filch, okay? Mrs. Norris gets petrified. Colin Creevy is driving Harry crazy. Colin gets petrified. Justin was told him that he was muggle-born. So obviously he's trying to go after him next. And all of this happens. Harry tries to clear it up.
I love how it's written. Justin actually told him he'd been down for Eton. That's not the kind of thing you bandy about with Slytherin's heir on the loose, is it? You definitely think it is Potter then, Ernie, said a girl with blonde pigtails anxiously. Hannah, said the stout boy solemnly, he's a parcel mouth. Everyone knows that's the mark of the dark wizard. Have you ever heard of a decent one who could talk to snakes? They called Slytherin himself Serpent Tongue.
So gross.
Remember what was written on the wall? Enemies of the air, beware. Potter had some sort of run-in with Filch. Next thing we know, Filch's cats attacked. That first year, Creevy was annoying Potter with the Quidditch match. I know you've already said this, but next thing we know, Creevy's been attacked. He always seems so nice, though, said Hannah uncertainly. And, well, he's the one who made who disappear. He can't be all that bad, can he? Hold on. Ernie lowered his voice mysteriously. The Hufflepuffs bent closer, and Harry edged nearer so that he could catch Ernie's words. No one knows how he survived that attack by you-know-who. I mean to say, he was only a baby when it happened.
Yep.
He should have been blasted in the smithereens. Only a really powerful dark wizard could have survived a curse like that. That's probably why you-know-who wanted to kill him in the first place. Didn't want another Dark Lord competing with him. I wonder what the other powers Potter's been hiding. On Slytherin. I'm out on Hufflepuff.
You know what it made me think of?
What?
Ernie McMillan needs to go be a newscaster. Because... You can take like one little thing
and just drag
and read
it.
Into it as much as you want. Like, oh, he was able to defeat Voldemort. Maybe that's why he was going after baby Harry Potter, because he was so grand that he could do this, because he's the actual heir of Slytherin. Like, they're finding these little things. As I was reading, especially with everything that's been going on right now, I'm like, Ernie needs to go be a news broadcaster, or at least a producer could write the script.
No, he needs to go work for like the National Enquirer or something.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's what he needs to do.
That's his new job.
Or be a talking head.
He'll go work with a Rita Skeeter. Rita Skeeter, who, by the way, references this duel later in Goblet of Fire. Draco Malfoy ends up telling Rita Skeeter about how Harry set a snake upon poor muggle Justin Filch Fletchley.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Malfoy just continues to be a jerk. So Justin and Nearly Headless Nick.
Well, hold on. Before we get there, I do have to say this. As I was reading this,
I'm
out on Hufflepuff, especially because of this. But
Blake, you have said that four times. Can you just get over it? You need to stop. My puff's going to come out.
But I can't get that. I can't be that out on Hufflepuff. You want to know why?
Hmm.
Because the trio, the main trio, Harry, Ron, and Hermione,
yes,
are doing the same exact thing.
Yes, they are.
They're doing it to Malfoy.
Yes, they are.
And they're not only doing it to Malfoy.
Thank you.
They're doing it to Lucius as well. Mm-hmm. They're saying, yeah, well, that solves it. That settles it right there. Lucius was the one who opened it up years ago. Now it's got to be it's got to be Draco who's doing the same exact thing.
We would be doing the same thing, Blake. We would. Think about it. Like, picture a 12-year-old self, but picture even like yourself right now. If something was happening and you pretty much had a real life clue situation, like the board game Clue, whodunit? You would be talking about it with your friends. Mm-hmm. You'd be sitting there and saying, well, this person has this against them. This person has this against them. So can you really blame the Hufflepuffs when in actuality, probably everyone else in the school is saying the same thing. There's probably even Gryffindor is saying the same thing. Right. I mean, Harry and Hermione, Ron and Hermione at least are his friends. But like, if you heard about it and you were like, no way, Harry Potter spoke parcel tongue. I don't want to sit next to him in the Great Hall.
But I think it is absolutely on purpose that we're having this parallel between the main trio and the Hufflepuff trio, let's just call them. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because it is illuminating for you that these rumors start.
Yes.
And not only do they start, they become dangerous.
Yes.
They become dangerous for multiple reasons, and they're nothing. They don't do any good for anybody. No. We know that Harry is not the heir to Slytherin. Well, we know that he hasn't done the things that the Hufflepuffs are saying.
Agreed.
It doesn't mean that he's not the heir to Slytherin, but we know that he hasn't done those things.
that we are aware of and that he is aware of.
Right.
He's even doubting, like, am I doing this in my sleep? Like, right. What's going
but
on?
Yes. That aside, that I think is foreshadowing the idea that Harry and Ron and Hermione are still not reliable, that they are still, even though they are heroes, even though they are they're the people that we're following, they're not right. They're doing the wrong thing. Just as
Harry's
much
generally wrong.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful part. He's the name of the freaking book, and he's wrong all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
He's wrong.
And that's
he's
okay.
Just, I remember in the seventh movie when he's like, Hermione, when have we ever made a plan that went right?
Seriously.
If we show up, everything goes haywire and we figure it out.
Daniel Tiger sings about it. It's okay to make mistakes. Try to fix them and you'll feel better too.
But as much, and all of these things play into the fact that Harry is unsure of who he is, what he is, why he's doing it, and if he's doing it. And it's not a coincidence that at the middle of this book, Harry is most alone. Harry is most alone, especially when we ratchet up that tension even more.
Yep.
And we discover Nearly Headless Nick and your boy JFF.
Justin. Okay, so Justin, Harry walks out, turns a corridor. He bumped into Hagrid, who, by the way, can we just like give a moment for Hagrid? You know, he bumps into him.
Snow-covered baklava.
And he notices, what is a balaclava? Balaclava.
Oh, I said baklava. Oh my God, what am I doing?
You are hungry.
I am hungry. I'm absolutely
what
hungry.
Is a balaclava?
I have no idea.
Because he's wearing this snow-covered balaclava. And anyway, so he's there and he's talking with Harry about, he's got this dead rooster. We got to figure out what's killing this dead rooster because it's the second one killed this term. Uh-huh. It's either foxes or a blood-sucking bugbear. Or something else. Wink, wink, nudge,
yep.
nudge.
Here's another mystery.
I love how you're saying here's another mystery because you don't know because this wasn't involved in the movie.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
This is the mystery that the author is putting in front of you. And you don't even know it. Again, all the clues are there.
Yes.
You're just not putting it together yet.
And Hagrid, who still is my number one favorite character, knows that something's wrong with Harry. You know, like, what's wrong with you? You're all hot and bothered. And they have a wee little talk. And then Harry stumbles upon Justin Finch-Fletchley.
Well, and Harry actually kind of dismisses Hagrid. Like, it shows
he's embarrassed.
It shows his frustration and anger and embarrassment over all the stuff that's happening.
Well, nobody's believing him. And he's, you know, questioning himself still, too. And in he walks, right up to Justin Finch-Fletchley, who's rigid and cold. He's petrified. Next to him is Nearly Headless Nick, no longer pearly white and transparent, but black and smoky, floating immobile and horizontal 6 inches off the floor. His head was half off. His face wore the same expression of shock identical to Justin's. In walks Peeves. And Peeves lets the entire castle know. Attack, attack. You know, everyone, run for your lives. Ernie McMillan runs out and yells, caught in the act.
Yep. Hold on. But before we get there, I have to say this. The writing here. Mm-hmm. The writing. And again, this is why this chapter is so good, because there are so many things happening. There are so many levels. There are so many contrasts that if you're a kid, you're not seeing any of this. But the world closing in on Harry here is awesome. It is palpable. I am reading it, and I know what's going to happen, but as I'm reading it, my heart is pounding. Like, how do you get out of this? And my Slytherin brain is going, how do you get out of this? How do you figure it out? And the writing here is awesome. His head was half off and his expectable. Harry got to his feet, his breathing fast and shallow, his heart doing a kind of drum roll against his ribs. He looked wildly up and down a deserted corridor and saw a line of spiders scuttling as fast as they could away from the bodies. The only sounds were the muffled voices of teachers from the classes on either side. Think of what the author is setting up here.
Yeah.
You hear the teachers. You hear the trouble coming. You see the spiders. This is the second time you've seen them.
Yeah.
The walls are closing in. He could run and no one would ever know he had been there, but he couldn't just leave them lying there. He had to get help. Would anyone believe he hadn't had anything to do with this? And as he stood there panicking, a door right next to him opened with a bang. Peeves, the poltergeist, came shooting out. Oh my God, I love this. I love, love, love. I know I've said this now 40 billion times in this chapter, But I love this.
Peeves annoys Harry by making a song. Oh, Potter, you Rotter, oh, what have you done? You're killing off students. You think it's good fun. Professor McGonagall then takes Harry up to Dumbledore's office, where we get to go on this really cool escalator-like staircase that brings him on up. And we, of course, have the Sherbet Lemon or Lemon Drop password, depending upon what edition your book is from. And there we go.
Can we talk about the fact that Dumbledore's password to get into his place is Sherbet Lemon?
I mean, that'd pretty much like be me having a password Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. All right, Marvin. I think it's your turn for the
Different perspective. Well, before we do, we wanted to let you all know that this episode is sponsored by Minute with Mary. If you have never been to MinuteWithMary.com, it's your one-stop shop for all things beauty and skincare. And I'm currently doing a class right now all about masks to help your face detox or deal with anti-aging, but especially, as I said, detoxing, because we're wearing a lot of masks on our face. So you can head on over to my Facebook group, Minute with Mary Marvelous VIPs. I'm also having a sale on all of my lip stains, which are completely mask proof. Just search Minute with Mary on any social media, or you can reach out to me. I'd love to help you. And now it's time for our different perspective.
Holy cricket! You're Harry Potter! I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Ron Weasley.
Oh, okay. What do you got?
I'm having the best day ever. I mean, I feel kind of bad because Harry's having the worst day. But let me just start things off with you. So hanging out with Hermione, who like, she's kind of, I don't know, I'm warming up to her a little bit. We're hanging out in the girls' bathroom. I'm learning about potions or whatever, and we're just chatting a lot
You
more.
Even say to her, Ron, you say to her, Hermione, you read too much. I feel like you're picking on her because you like her.
Hey, may or may not be true, but I do hang out with her a lot in this chapter. So I may or may not be blushing. So we're hanging out in the bathroom, we do our thing, and then Hermione comes up with this idea to create a distraction. Best part ever, I don't have to do anything. I just get to watch it all. Harry throws a fireworker, everybody gets all crazy, Hermione's stealing stuff. Yes, Hermione, the best witch in our class. It was awesome to watch. Then Herbology got canceled. I got to play wizard chess, which I won against Hermione once again. Pretty cool. And the only really weird thing was, so then we had the dueling club,
which
finally happened. My wand kept messing up. I need to say something to my mom. But then Harry spoke to a snake. Like, this is my best friend. I thought I knew everything about him. As if he couldn't have been cooler. Harry Potter has a parcel mouth and he doesn't even know what a parcel mouth is. So I get to share with him my knowledge. Well, excuse me. Let me brush off my shoulders. And tell him what a parcel mouth is. Now, granted, it's not ideal to be a parcel mouth right now.
Yeah, but, not a great look, Ron.
But I'm a pureblood and he's my best friend. So just in case it is him, totally chill.
I'm fine.
Best day ever. Plus, there's pudding for dessert. Let's go.
Count me in. Great job, Marvin.
Thank you.
All right, time for the questions now. Ladies and gents, if you do have a question for us, if you're listening to us on the podcast app, you can send us one. You are not left out. Just send us an email at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com, and we will get to your question next episode. For those of you who are watching us live now on the Facebook and all of the other
social media,
you can
submit your questions with a lightning bolt emoji in the beginning of it, and so then we can go from there.
All right, so you ready for the questions?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, Miles here.
All right, so we do have a email here. This one comes from Jennifer. She says, this is the first time that we get to see the Expelliarmus spell in action in Harry Potter. This spell becomes one of the most important ones in Harry and friends' arsenals as the books and as the movies progress. And indeed, we even see that the clever spell allows Harry Potter to escape a most certain cruelty at the hands of Voldemort more than once.
Yep.
Professor Snape was the person to use the spell, and I would also posit that it was he, not Lockhart, that really was at the heart of the dueling club. Mm-hmm. Lockhart could his way through it, but it was really Snape, with his background, that understood the value of knowing defensive counterspells and curses. But before we continue, Mary,
yes,
this leads me to a theory. Does Dumbledore put Snape with Lockhart knowing that Lockhart is an idiot and that Snape can rein him in and actually teach the kid something?
You know, I don't know, because Flitwick would be like the ultimate person for this. He actually was a dueling champion.
I need to know more about Flitwick's dueling champion life. How is there not like a novella of Flitwick going around beating people to a pulp?
Yes.
How does...
I picture him like Yoda, you know, because of his small size, like Yoda in episode 2 of Star Wars, just like bouncing off the walls and like pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, right. Like, we need that scene with Yoda, but with Flitwick's
Who needs face. The emo Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them? Sign me up for the action-packed Flitwick dueling life chronicle.
The dueling tour.
Like a Netflix series.
Absolutely.
Each episode is a decade of his life.
Give me like a 4-part series.
Yes.
And it's like The Mandalorian, but yes. Flitwick.
Yes.
It's just all called in. Flitwick. Oh my God, I'm all in on that. All right. My question is, have you given thought to the idea that it was Snape's first use of the spell, not to mention his pairing Harry Potter with Draco Malfoy that night in the dueling club, that had a twofold positive effect on Harry Potter from that point on? One, Snape was able to continue watching over Harry, even if it was not an obvious heartwarming way. He gave him a useful tool that saved his life, but not something anyone would recognize offhand as such. I would agree with that. I think that's reasonable. Two, Snape further gave Harry the impetus to learn this most important spell and be able to teach it by putting him in a controlled situation by pairing him with Malfoy, but also knowing the two did not get along and that Harry would focus himself twice as hard to disarm, repel, or attack first. I like that theory too. You know, the way that I've come to understand it, at least from the books and especially the films, is that, you know, doing these spells or charms takes an enormous amount of focus. And not only do you have to be a wizard, but you have to be specifically talented as a wizard to do these specific things. And you have to engage with something in your body and in your life. That, you know, I'm trying to make a serious point here, Mavi, and you're making a cat read a book.
You have to focus, and this is like a serious thing that you're trying to do in your life.
Oh, my God. You know, at least you're not playing with the cat with the wand anymore. Yeah. All right. I think if Harry had been dueling with Ron and Neville, even Hermione, she would have tried to keep him in focused. He would have been off on the idea of causing her harm. He would not have been able to be as focused on understanding that in a serious duel, you might only get one chance at getting it right.
You only got one shot.
Don't throw away your shot. Mm-hmm. Do not throw away your shot. So, thank you, Jennifer, for sending
that
email.
Thank you.
Good stuff, as always. Love it. All right, so.
Scroll up, because I think we had seen a few of them way back when. To the beginning.
To the beginning. Oh, no, hold on. That was not a question.
And remember to email us if you do have any other questions that pertain to anything that we've covered so far in the book or the next chapter. You can email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. First up, Ellen Hanwright says, do you think Lockhart did like a tell-all interview after he got his you-know-what whooped by Snape in the duel, talking about how he did it so well?
You know he went to his diary and was outlining how he beat Snape. You know he was doing that, right?
You know, he's also thinking like, all right, how can I erase Snape's memory and all of the students' memories so that it's the other way? So that Snape went flying off the table.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I didn't understand what you were saying then. Sorry.
All right.
Brittany K says, do you think Harry drew any inspiration from the dueling club experience when he ran Dumbledore's army? Didn't he do Expelliarmus as his first lesson with them too? Yes.
Yes, Brittany. Yes. And I like that theory a lot. And it makes me wonder if they did the dueling club knowing that Harry needed that tool. He needed that experience in order to fend off these people that he will be fighting.
You know what Harry needed? I'm just going to throw this out there. Harry needed Professor Snape as his defense against the dark arts teacher all this time. If he had had Snape teaches him like all the stuff he knows. He teaches him about the Bezoar being the thing that helps prevent against poisoning. He teaches him Expelliarmus. He teaches him about Occlumency. Snape teaches him so many important things in different ways, shapes, or form.
And I love that. I love that pairing as much as I love Lockhart and Snape. Harry and Snape is even better because
Agreed.
Snape knows he has to protect Harry.
Yeah.
But he hates Harry at the same time.
But yet Harry doesn't realize that Snape is one of his best professors.
Right. And he's doing everything he can to help him.
Yeah.
I love that. All right, Caitlin asks, can Mary make a Harry Potter duel song to the Hamilton duel song music? Release it to the patrons on the Nerd Clan.
I'll see what I can do, Caitlin.
I love that idea. Rebecca says, Blake, you had mentioned a couple of episodes back that you didn't like Newt Scamander and that he is the least interesting character in the Fantastic Beasts film. Yes, he is.
Nope.
That legit doesn't make sense to me.
Thank you.
Is good to people. Would you be out on him if he was a Gryffindor and a Ravenclaw, generally trying to understand? Rebecca, yes, I would be out on him.
He would.
Because he doesn't do anything interesting.
I completely disagree.
What does he do that's interesting?
He
doesn't have any growth. There's no growth for his character.
He is always going against the rules. What he did by finding and taking care of all of these creatures was not the norm. It was not okay. He had to do it like on his own time, on his own dime. And he did this research. So you think about all these amazing, you think about Galileo. He was like a Galileo man.
No, Galileo turned the world upside down, essentially. This guy is just collecting animals. And my next thing I'm going to say is...
Darwin.
Boring. Darwin changed the world. Sorry.
Who's like a cool animal person? Jane Goodall?
Sure. I know, Steve Irwin?
Yeah, he was like a Steve Irwin, but better. And not dead.
No, I disagree. I disagree.
Not dead. R.I.P.
And you ain't seen movies about Steve Irwin, are you?
No, but you've seen movies about Newt Scamander.
And you shouldn't be, because he's Steve Irwin. Irwin, sure, nice guy.
He's
great
dead.
Guy.
He's when they just stop? The poor thing.
let's see what else we got here. There are questions way back, if you can find them, including a t-shirt option. Yeah, I saw the Luscious Lucius. That's a good idea. Thank you so much. That's what I got.
All right. Well, friends, thank you so much for some of your questions. As always, it is so much fun.
Yes, normally we would stick around for a little bit longer with these questions, but as we have mentioned earlier, we are going to close this episode out a little
to go
sooner.
Watch another Dueling Club.
Yeah, go watch another Dueling Club. We're trying to respect the process here of the presidential election and the vice presidential.
Oh my God!
Debate is on.
Next one is Polyjuice Potion.
So thank you everybody for being here and listening to us and having a good time. We're going to close this bad boy up. Mavin, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you all so much, honestly, from the bottom of our hearts, for taking the time to listen and to join in to the Potterverse. We started this all because things have been difficult and very lonely in the time of COVID, and to be able to not only reread these books that bring us Lumos in the time of Nox, but to be able to have such an engaging community means the world to us. If this has brought joy to your day, please feel free to write us a written review on your podcast app of choice with some 5 stars. It helps other people find out about it. Maybe share about the Potterverse in your stories. Just screenshot it and put it on your Facebook wall and let people know, hey, if you want to reread Harry Potter, check out this podcast. And if we bring you a lot of joy, please head on over to jointhenerdclan.com. If you're a Hufflepuff, if we get up to 510 patrons,
correct,
Blake will have to wear a Hufflepuff t-shirt, sing the Hoggy Hoggy Hogwarts.
Well, no, that's not definite yet.
We want. Do whatever we want him to do, okay?
In the intro.
I'm in charge of this family.
I'm not eating slugs, tell you that.
I will find Slughorn and I will make him eat them just for you. JoinTheNerdClan.com is a place to make Blake eat his words and eat slugs. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake and I eat in slugs.
We'll see. Mischief managed. Don't close your eyes at bed, Blake.